Greetings, everyone, and welcome to today's program. In the wake of the September 11 terrorist attacks on New York City, two well-known televangelists stated that the attacks were from God because of America's sins. One well-known evangelist went so far as to say that everyone who died in the attacks who didn't know Jesus was now burning in hell fire. It is so sad to see people who, in their blind religious zeal and fervor, go about obscuring the true hope of the world. As sincere and well-meaning as these people are, they do far more harm than good in helping people understand the purpose and plan of God. God's purpose is to bring all peoples, regardless of race, creed, color, or any other factor, into a relationship with Him and eventually for them to be resurrected into the kingdom of God. It is so sad that Satan has deceived the whole world so that they don't understand who God is and what His purpose is. It seems that people would return to God in the wake of world events. But Satan is so deceitful, so clever in his ability to harden the hearts of men, even in the face of calamity, even when the handwriting is plainly on the wall. It seems that recent events have precipitated even more confusion in the minds of people around the world, and at the same time harden people against the only name given under heaven whereby men must be saved. Political leaders, religious leaders, and media gurus are all uttering the politically correct statements of toleration. That is, you don't have to be a Christian to be in the kingdom of God. As they phrase it, you don't have to be a Christian to be in or go to heaven. Even the general concept that religious people have about life after death is not what the Bible really teaches. The Bible clearly reveals that the sons of God are going to rule and reign on the earth. Revelation 5:10 clearly says that we will be made kings and priests and we shall reign on the earth. Yes, at the resurrection, we'll be caught up into the heavens for a brief period of time, and who knows exactly how long that time will be. But the Bible clearly reveals that Jesus Christ and the saints are going to rule and reign here on this earth for 1,000 years, and the nations will have an opportunity to be brought into relationship with God and Christ. One well-known television talk show host who claims to be number one and professes to be a Christian stated that there are, quote, loopholes in Christian theology, and one can go to heaven if they're sincere in their beliefs and strive to live a good life and do good works. Yes, that's what one of the ones who says he's number one with regard to television talk show host, and I think that many of the surveys, many of the ratings, verify that he is number one. There are seven major religions on earth today. Christianity, which is broadly divided into two groups, Catholic and Protestant, Judaism, Islam, Buddhism, Hinduism, and the New Age movement, and another movement that you might not call it a religion, but it seems to be, with the fervor that they go about it, is called secular humanism, and now some are saying secular progressive humanism. All of these, with the exception of the secular humanists, teach a distinct path to salvation. Christians teach that it is through Jesus Christ that your sins can be forgiven, you can receive the Spirit of God, and have a relationship with God in Christ. Judaism is still looking for a Messiah to appear. They're not looking for the Son of God from heaven. They're looking for a physical Messiah, a son of David, to come and restore Israel as it was in the days of David and Solomon. Islam is looking for the 12th Imam. Buddhism is looking for the 5th Buddha. Hinduism is looking for the 5th Krishna. And New Agers are looking for Maitreya. And the secular humanists are trying to solve the world's problems through human reason, intellect, and they think through diplomacy and human action. All of these, with the exception of the secular humanists, teach a distinct path to salvation. The secular humanists believe that humans are the highest order in the universe and that humans alone can solve humanity's problems. Secular humanists teach that all the things that have divided human beings and nations through the ages must be destroyed. Their plan for world domination is clearly laid out in the Humanist Manifesto 2. They point to national sovereignty as a point of division among nations, so nations must be destroyed. They point to religious strife, so religions must be destroyed, especially Christianity, because Christianity proclaims that one must accept Jesus as their Savior in order to be in the kingdom of God. They claim that gender, maleness, and femaleness is a source of division, so there must be absolute equality and no distinct roles for men and women, so marriage and family are under attack. Humanists think that philosophy will save humanity. They think their intelligence enables them to think on the grand scheme of things. They've figured out how to save humanity from destruction, at least they think. They think it's wrong to consider God in any of their plans. They have formed various think tanks and quasi-governmental organizations to work toward their humanitarian goals. Through their various organizations and programs, they're promoting their version of the roadmap to universal peace and prosperity. But is it the road of universal peace and prosperity, or is it the road of false hope and destruction? When all is said and done, all the peoples of the world cry out for justice. People, it seems, are more attuned to justice than they are any other thing. The humanists think that a just world can be achieved through human intellect and human reasoning apart from God. But their version of justice is summarized by the cry for human rights, and certain human rights are necessary for a just society to function. But unbridled human rights leads to a state of moral decay and confusion and eventually anarchy, because human rights that deny divine parameters makes each human being the final judge of what is justice in his own sight. Thus, society is divided into a number of special interest groups, lobbying for the rights of various lifestyles and beliefs. So we have the gay agenda, the pro-choice groups, the pro-life groups, the green movement, smokers' rights, smoke-free environment rights, pro-drugs, anti-drugs, pro-capital punishment, anti-capital punishment, pro-prayer in schools, against public prayer in schools, ad infinitum, and the list could go on and on. There can be no just society when the society is fragmented into various factions who are all demanding that they have the right to do whatever they believe is right in their own eyes. Even if the nations would lay down their armaments today and wars would cease, we would still be headed down the road toward the proverbial Armageddon. Men would kill each other over their so-called rights to do what is right in their own eyes. Secular humanism parades under the banner of education and enlightenment, but at its core is a deadly spiritual movement that eventually causes every man's hand to be against his neighbor. On the other hand, the major religions of the world are looking for a great spiritual leader to come on the scene and save the world before it's too late. Christians are looking for the second coming of Jesus Christ. Judaism is looking for a physical Messiah to come on the scene. Islam is looking for the Imam Mahdi, the 12th Mahdi. Hindus are looking for Krishna. Buddhists are looking for the 5th Buddha. And the New Agers are looking for Maitreya. All of these religions have a different perspective as to what their anticipated spiritual leader will do. I guess one of the things that they hold in common is that they will bring order out of chaos and that they will usher in a new age for humanity. The Bible clearly reveals to us why Jesus the Christ is coming back to this earth. The return of Jesus Christ to this earth is one of the final steps in God's plan for bringing all peoples, nations, races, kindreds, and tongues into judgment, and then providing all peoples, nations, races, kindreds, and tongues an opportunity to enter into a relationship with God and Christ and each member of the body of Christ. God has allowed Satan and his system a period of time to show the peoples of the world that apart from God, their plans for solving the world's problems are fruitless. As we look at the peoples of the world today, they possess great knowledge about many things, and life is much easier for some peoples of the world today. But on the other hand, millions are starving, millions are racked with deadly diseases, and millions go to bed hungry every night, and just the natural, normal necessities of life become scarcer and scarcer for many of the peoples around the face of the earth. But the peoples of the world are also today more hopelessly divided, it seems, than at any other time in human history, in spite of the fact that we have these great advances in medical science and in other fields of technology that would seem to be able to make life easier for all the peoples of the world. It seems that the gap between the haves and the have-nots grows greater and deeper every day. The leaders of this world continue to spend incredible sums of money on armaments while their people live in abject poverty. It seems that the more knowledge we gain, the closer and quicker the doomsday clock ticks toward the midnight hour. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, the Apostle Paul describes behaviors that will be extant in the last days. And one of the things that he says is in 2 Timothy 3:7, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. When we come back for the next segment of our program, we will answer the question, what is the true hope of the world? If you would really like to understand who you are, what you are, and why you were born, you need to call for our free booklet, What is Your Destiny? This booklet will explain to you the great plan and purpose of God. It will also help you come to understand who God is, what God is, and what is His purpose, and the corollary to that, who is man, what is man, and what is his purpose. The God of this world, Satan the devil, has blinded the minds of human beings over this great question of the ages. The greatest questions of the ages are summarized by these questions of who is God, what is his purpose, and who is man, what is man, and what is his purpose. And you can come to understand all of this by reading this booklet and going to the scriptures that are noted in this booklet and seeing for yourself in the Bible. Yes, be like the Bereans. Be more noble than those in Thessalonica. Be more noble than those in the world today who don't even really consider the great questions of life and rush madly about, and yet at the same time have some vague idea that they believe in God and that when they die, they're going to live again. You can know and know that you know. So all you have to do to receive this free booklet, What is Your Destiny, is to call our toll-free number. That toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. Once again, that toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. And now back to World News and Prophecy. Do you know that you were created for a great transcendental purpose? God created humans to become His sons and daughters for the purpose of being in His family and ruling and reigning with Him as kings and priests in the kingdom of God. It says clearly in Revelation 5 and verse 10 that He has made us kings and priests. And of course, this will be in resurrection. And we shall reign on the earth. Look in your Bible for yourself. If you believe the Bible, then don't you believe Revelation 5:10, what it says? First and foremost, God is love, and as the only God of love and righteousness, He deeply desires to share who He is and what He is with the sons of men. Love is outgoing concern for others. But the God of this world, Satan the devil, has blinded the sons of men into believing his great deceptions and lies. Man is deceived into believing he has an immortal soul, and he has inherited eternal life. And as I have said so often on these programs, why would God create a good, pure, immortal soul and then house it, as the pagans and the dualists taught, then house it in evil flesh? Flesh is not just inherently evil, but the carnal mind is enmity toward the law of God, not subject to it, neither indeed can be, according to the Apostle Paul in Romans 8:7. So why would he create a good, pure, immortal soul and put it into a body that is subject to sin and death, and then challenge that body, that being, to save this good, pure, immortal soul that's immortal in the first place? Of course, it doesn't make sense, but most people don't even consider it. They don't even study it. They just, maybe they go to church. They have an emotional experience as the minister gives the altar call and feels led to go up and give his hand to the minister and to accept Jesus on the spur of the moment. Well, you need to understand far more than that. In this booklet, What is Your Destiny?, will help you to understand that. Once again, all you have to do is call the toll-free number, 1-888-886-5614, 1-888-886-5614. The Bible reveals that man is mortal and subject to death. Ezekiel chapter 18, verses 4 and 20 says, it's repeated twice in Ezekiel 18, verse 4 and verse 20, the soul that sins, it shall die. And Romans 6:23 clearly states that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Apostle Paul makes it clear in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 50 through 54, that this mortal must put on immortality. This corruptible must put on incorruption, and that we'll be raised as a glorious, radiant spirit being. God's great plan of salvation is all-inclusive. It has to be in order for God to be true to His Word. God states that He's not a respecter of persons. Thus, He has to provide every person who's ever drawn breath an opportunity to be in His family. This is not the only day of salvation. God is not trying to save the world right now. Yes, He has commissioned the church to go forward and to preach the gospel to all the world, but at the same time, it is clear in scriptures that there is another day coming in which the blinders will be taken off of all from the eyes of those who have never heard the truth, and they shall have an opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. If there's only one name given under heaven whereby men must be saved, as it says in Acts 4:12, then what I've just stated has to be true, regardless as to what anyone else wants to say to you or tell you. If you believe the Bible, well, that is the truth. Before God created humans, He created the angelic realm. The angels were created to serve as ministering servants to the heirs of salvation. That's what it says clearly in Hebrews 1:14. God in the Word ordained a great plan of salvation before the foundation of the world. Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world, as it says in Revelation 13:8. And Jesus Christ, who was foreknown, He was going to come and pay for the sins of the world. When God created the angelic realm through the Word, He created three great archangels, Michael, Gabriel, and Lucifer. Lucifer was set over the earth, but he rebelled and tried to take over the throne of God. You read of this in Isaiah 14 and verse 12. How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How are you cut down to the ground? Who did weaken the nations? For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. So as you read in Revelation chapter 12, that old serpent, that great dragon, drew one-third of the stars, one-third of the angels went with Lucifer, who became Satan in that great rebellion and tried to take over the throne of God, as you see recorded here in Isaiah 14, verses 12 through 17. That event marked the introduction of sin into the universe. No, God did not create a devil. Lucifer was created perfect in all his ways, as you read in Ezekiel 28:15, until sin was found in him. After God created Adam and Eve, Satan, formerly known as Lucifer, came among them and deceived them. And the majority of humankind has been deceived from that time to the present. Satan is the author of sin and death. Jesus Christ is the one who sets us free from sins and from death. When Christ comes again, he's going to judge the world in righteousness. But before Christ comes again, the peoples of the world are going to have to face the most horrific and terrible times in human history. Christ calls it the Great Tribulation. Jesus Christ himself states, Matthew 24, verses 21 through 24, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved alive." Humankind now has the capacity to destroy itself many times over, and for many different reasons and causes. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, "Lo, here is Christ," or "there," believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs, false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. So a miracle in and of itself is not a proof of God. As you read in Revelation 13, the false prophet will be able to call fire down from heaven. During this awful time of deception and trial, Satan is going to inspire and energize two humans, the beast and the false prophet. These two, along with Satan, will eventually deceive the nations into fighting against Christ and the saints at the return of Christ and the saints. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. This unholy triad will still be in league right up to the very end of this age. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, once again, miracles, be one of the great ways in which human beings are deceived, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. People talk about the battle of Armageddon. The actual battle is the battle of the great day of God Almighty. They are gathered at a place, as we shall see, called Armageddon. "Behold, I become as a thief. Blessed is he that watches and keeps his garment, lest he walk naked." Naked has to do with unrighteousness, with sin. And on the other hand, righteousness is the white linen of the saints. "And they see his shame. He gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon." This is where Armageddon is mentioned in the Bible, Revelation 16, verses 12 through 16. Yes, judgment is coming upon the world because of sin. In addition to the wrath of Satan that brings on the great tribulation, God is going to directly intervene and bring great plagues on the nations because of their allegiance to Satan and his system. "And I beheld, and when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell under the earth, even as a fig tree casts her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heavens departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places." The nations, all of the world, are going to be shaken, and the physical elements, and the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, the chief captains, the mighty men, and every bondman and free man, hid themselves in the dens, the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, "Fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb." Yes, God is not going to sit by idly forever. He is going to intervene. The purpose of all of this is to plead with humanity so that they will repent and turn to him and understand and know that he is God, and that Jesus Christ is his Son, and that he wants all human beings to come into a relationship with him. "Therefore prophesy you against them all these words, and say unto them, The Lord shall roar from on high, and utter his voice from his holy mountain. He shall mightily roar upon his habitation. He shall give a shout as they that tread the grapes against all the inhabitants of the earth. Yes, Jesus Christ is coming again, and he's coming this time as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. He's not coming as a humble carpenter from Nazareth. He's not coming into Jerusalem riding on a donkey this time. He will be coming riding on a great white horse along with the saints and the armies from heaven, as you read about in Revelation chapter 19. What will you do during this time? Where will you stand? If you wait until this time begins, it will be too late. Some will repent during the great tribulation. We see a description of those who repent in Revelation 7. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, "What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and where do they come from?" And I said unto him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sits on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun, the light of the sun, the heat of the sun be on them, nor any other heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." Hopefully, we will repent, all of us will repent before the time of the great tribulation. But there will be an innumerable multitude who will come out of great tribulation and repent, as we see here. Yes, God is merciful, and even those who have died, never ever heard the name of Jesus Christ, will also be given an opportunity at a point after the second resurrection. But when the trumpet plagues begin, there is no record of anyone repenting. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk, neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. Yes, there is no record of anyone repenting after the trumpet plagues begin. Now is the time to turn to God with your whole heart and seek him. So today, if you would hear his voice, harden not your heart. God wants you to rule and reign with him in his glorious kingdom. Be sure to be tuned to this station this time next week for World News and Prophecy. You have been listening to World News and Prophecy. For the free literature offered on this program, you may call our toll-free number. That toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. We'll send you the free booklet, "What is Your Destiny?" so you will come to understand the plan and purpose of God and why you were born. So all you have to do is to call the toll-free number, 1-888-886-5614, and be sure to be tuned to this station next week for World News and Prophecy.